There are 168 hours in a week. They're made up of our everyday activities, our routines, what seem to be the most mundane moments are the very ordinary ones that shape our extraordinary lives. Some of those hours seem to go by way too fast, while others feel like they can't get over it quickly enough. Certain hours can capture our full attention, making lasting memories, while most of the time, we wonder where they all went. Does your schedule feel full, but your life seem empty? Do you ever find yourself wishing time away, only to find yourself wishing for that time back later? Do you find yourself sitting in the armchair of exhaustion, reclining with the posture of passivity, and dozing off in disappointment? Well, it's time. It's time to wake up. To wake up to a fully lived life instead of a forever full schedule. Wake up so that you can get up from that chair and get up to be fully present with the time that you've been given. See the life and beauty that surrounds you, even now. Get up to be fully awakened for a full life with Christ. Look at the 168 hours you've been given this week. Do you wonder where they all went? Or regret how you spent them? Maybe it's not that there aren't enough days in your life. Maybe there isn't enough life in your days. Until you see the significance of each moment, you can't seize each moment with significance.
So as you think about your 168 hours, as you think about them, I want you to take the next 90 seconds and in the presence of Jesus and kind of review your week and see where God met you and where you may have missed some opportunities. And even if you say, man, I missed those opportunities, this is not a time to feel guilt or shame. This is really a time to say, man, I am committing and recommitting my life to do with the time, the limited time that God has given me, to use it in a significant way. So take the next 90 seconds just to think about your week in the presence of Jesus. You're not doing this in the presence of us, but in the presence of Jesus, what did I do with the time that you gave me, God, and even recommitting to do a little bit better. So take the next 90 seconds to do that. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for taking a moment to do that. I think it's important because all we have is the time that we have right now. And what we do with that time is really, really important. What am I giving my time to? What am I giving my energy to? What am I giving my calendar to? Is really important, particularly for us as followers of Jesus. What am I doing with that? All right? So over the last week, we started a short series of messages called We Are Trinity. And so last week, we talked about this idea of Jesus's mission for us. And we've adopted his mission as our mission. And we used the chair as a metaphor of us getting comfortable, particularly with this mission of making disciples. His mission for us is to make disciples, and we said a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, someone who is being transformed by Jesus, and someone who is on mission with Jesus. So we said the mission of Trinity is to make disciples, to create environments and to facilitate relationships so that we can help other people follow Jesus, be transformed by him, and be on mission with him. Our job is to reproduce in others what God has produced in us. And the reason we're doing this particular series or this series right now at this time, there's a reason, there's a strategy behind it. We're now coming back. People are coming back to the building. We've met online for a number of months, and we recognize that there are a number of people who are now attending Trinity who were not attending Trinity 18 months ago. We recognize that even in the midst of the pandemic, people who've been a part of Trinity maybe even have forgotten who we are. And when I say forgotten who we are, in terms of just being reminded of the kind of church God has called us to be. Because the reality is this. You say, man, I kind of like some of the things that Trinity is doing, but when you get to the nuts and bolts and you begin to see and hear who we are and what we're about, you might say, I don't think I want to be a part of that church. Like, I kind of like telling the church that I attend what I want, and I'm kind of expecting that church to do that for me. I'm kind of expecting my preferences to be met, and we can easily mission drift if we don't stay focused on the mission and values and vision that we believe God has given us. So we're doing this so that all of us can be on the same page as it relates to who we are as a church. And we said last week that we're going to break our lives on making disciples. We're gonna help people know how to reproduce in others what God has produced in us. So we talked about our mission last week. So today we're going to be talking about another aspect of who we are, and that is our values. So if you are attending Trinity for the first time, or you just started attending Trinity not too long ago, and this is a good time to be here because we are now reminding all of us of who we are as a church. We want to make sure that we're moving in the same direction. And so today we're going to talk about values. And values are those things that actually help us get to our mission. It is, are those things that we say that we truly believe, not just what we say, but actually what we do. I love, my voice is kind of cracking because I was at the game yesterday, and that, man, the Spartans, they did their thing yesterday, right? They did it. Go White. Thank you. Like, that's right in the middle of a message. Why am I doing that? So it's a great atmosphere yesterday, and I think they're going to be good. This is a secret. I think they're good this year. So only one person thought that. So next week we'll find out when they play Miami. So I digress. So there's this woman by the name of Karen Swallow Pryor. And she's a professor at Southeastern Theological Seminary. And she's written a number of books, but she talks about this one question pop quiz. And I think it is a fascinating question. I think it's a convicting question. I think it's a question that actually can shape our lives in some really powerful ways. And here's the question. I believe we should give ourselves a pop quiz every day with this question. And here it is. What will your actions today prove what you value, prove that you value most? Let me say that again. This is a life-changing pop quiz. This is what she says. What will your actions today prove that you value most? Here's the reality that what we value, we will actually align our actions. That those things we believe, not just believe it mental assent-wise, but those things we really believe that are deep in our bones, our actions will follow. And so for us as a church, we want to be asked, giving ourselves a pop quiz. I think every husband ought to give himself a pop quiz on this. I think every wife ought to give herself a pop quiz. Every friend ought to give themselves a pop quiz. Every teenager ought to give themselves a pop quiz. Every parent ought to give themselves a pop quiz every single day, saying, what will my actions today prove that I value most? This is where the rubber meets the road. And so this is what we're asking ourselves as a church. What is it that we value? Not just mental assent-wise, but what is it that we truly value? And we can rummage through our lives, and we can rummage through our days, and we can rummage through our activity, and we can find these values showing up in our lives. Not just one or two, not just one off, two off, but we're talking about every single day we can see these showing up in our lives. So let me give you what a value is. And again, we know this intuitively, but here is what a value is. Values are a person's principles and standards of behavior. Values are a person's principles or standards of behavior. It is truly how I live. There are two types of values. One is, and I'm in your notes, one is aspirational or articulated values, that is what I say. And then secondly, there is actual values. This is what I do. That is this sense of, here is my desired values, but here are my demonstrated values. So I can say all day long, I love my family. That's an articulated value. You should be able to look through my life and should be able to ask my wife, what are the examples of Marvin's love for you? That's a demonstrated value. I can say all day long that I love sleep or I value sleep and rest. But if you come to my house and see me up at 3 and 4 a.m., 2, 3, 4 a.m., binging on a Netflix series, I'm not talking to anybody here but myself, You can say you say you value sleep, but there is no demonstration of your value of sleep. Does this make sense to anybody? So I can say all day long, I want to be physically healthy. I want to eat right, and I want to exercise. And I can say that all day long. And I've done that. I've lied to myself often. Like, man, I want to be healthy with a donut in my mouth. Probably you have too. It's an articulated value versus a demonstrated value. This is so, so crucial to our lives. And so, aspirational versus articulated values, that's the difference between seeing a trajectory of our spiritual lives going up and to the right, and I'm not talking about being successful per se, but growing and maturing in our faith, and someone being stuck and not moving in that direction. If you say, I value reading the Bible, but you never read the Bible, you're not going to grow. Oh, I value being authentic in relationship. But if you're not in a relationship with anybody and you're going it alone, man, you're not going to grow. If you say, oh, I value prayer, but you only pray when you get in trouble, that's not really a value. That's prayer's not a value. So again, this is a no condemnation zone, no condemnation or no judgment zone. This is about us moving together, understanding values. And so I'm going to give you four values that we hold to at Trinity Church. We want them, they're aspirational, and they are actual as well in pockets here in our church. And we want it to be a part of our lives as a church, not just as leaders, but your life and mine. This is the reason why this series is so important, because we want you to know what kind of church you are a part of. We want you to know that we are not just a church that's building buildings and building programs. We are a church that desires to see you grow in your walk with Jesus so you can help others grow in their walk with Jesus. That's the reason we exist. We exist as a church to glorify God and make disciples by awakening people to full life with Christ. And so here is our first value. It's a crucial one. And the first one is attentive to the Spirit. I'm in your notes. Attentive to the Spirit. Everybody say that with me together. Attentive to the Spirit. Say it with me again. So when we talk about being attentive to the Spirit, this is super, super important. Why? Because the moment you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life to help you live for Jesus, to empower you with grace so that you might be on mission with Jesus. You and I cannot do the Christian life in our own strength. We need the supernatural power of the Spirit of God to live like God desires us to live. I don't know about you, I cannot do it in my own strength. I cannot be self-controlled in my own strength. I cannot be joyful in my own strength. I cannot be patient and loving and kind in my own strength. Have you seen the people in the world? We need the Spirit of God. And so every day, I love the way Blake talks about it. Every day, Blake says, I have to turn on the switch and I have to set my mind to be attentive, pay attention to how the Spirit of God is leading and directing. Because if not, we'll get caught in the vortex and we'll say stuff we shouldn't say, we'll do things we shouldn't do. And then we'll be on our knees confessing to God, repenting all over again when we had an opportunity to pay attention to what he was doing. So here's a verse that we love to come back to. And this is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh," that is the sinful nature. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." So every day, listen to this. You got to know this. You got to know this. If you don't know this, you might be surprised when it happens. Every day you wake up, you are in a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit says, do this, and the flesh says, I ain't doing that. The Spirit says, love your enemy. The flesh says, no, I want to kill my enemy. The Spirit says, love and be patient with those who are driving slowly in front of you. And the flesh says, drive around them, and as you pass them, tell them that they're number one. You think I'm lying. Some of you told some people they were, at least you thought they were number one this week. I'm telling you, every day, the Spirit and the flesh, they fight against one another. And we must set our minds every day to say, who will get the most territory? Who will get the most real estate in my life so that that will determine who will win? So the Spirit and the flesh, they oppose each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you, here it is, this is the attendance of the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's a statement that says you don't need a law to tell you what to do. The Spirit is actually empowering you to do what God wants you to do. You don't need a law to tell you. You don't need a sign that says 60 miles per hour to tell you what to do. The Spirit just simply tells you, yeah, you probably want to slow down. That's kind of the idea. So now the works of the flesh are evident. So this is when the Spirit is not in control, that we are living sexually immoral lives, impurity in what we say and what we do, sensuality, all that is grouped together, idolatry, where something gets the place of God, something else gets the place of God. Sorcery is kind of witchcraft. That I'm looking for my future in my horoscope as opposed to the will of God. Okay, I'm just kind of doing this. Enmity is hostility toward other people, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And Paul says, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here is that you've been changed. And this is not the way you ought to live. But when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives, this is what he is producing in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, fighting for the highest possible good of another person. Joy, not connected to circumstances, but because of Jesus. Peace, that is internal braces that keeps me alive and moving and settled, a settled confidence in God when all hell is breaking loose around me. Patience, this slow, long burn before I get angry and upset. Kindness towards other people. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's how we know when we are being attentive to the Spirit. Here are the results. And the results, I'm in your notes still. There will be freedom and there will be fruit. Now, what I mean by that is there will be freedom from the junk that actually held me captive. And there will be fruit, and that fruit is, I am more loving, I am more kind, I am more patient, I am more gentle, I am more faithful, I am more self-controlled. So the question is, think about this week, the 168 that you lived. Were you more controlled by the Spirit this week? or less controlled by the Spirit this week? Were you more angry this week, or were you more gentle this week? Were you more patient this week, or were you less patient this week? Again, we can work the entire list. So the key is there's more freedom from the junk that held us captive because the Spirit is active and working and producing new stuff in us. The new stuff that looks like Jesus. So here is the one question pop quiz. What did our actions this week prove that we actually valued being attentive to the Spirit? It's a big question. It's a big question. So again, this is what we desire. I want to read something to you that to let you know that your pastor is struggling every day to fight against the flesh and to live according to the Spirit. So a couple of weeks ago, many of you know that my middle son got married. And so my daughter, Michaela, was in the wedding. Megan, the bride, said, you have different dresses, but the same color. So Michaela ordered the dress, and it was a different color than what everybody else had. And she got the dress, she opened it up, she is like weeping. My 19-year-old daughter is crying and weeping, and she's inconsolable. And as a father, all I could think about, I gotta solve this problem. I gotta call somebody to get them to overnight the dress to Michaela, and I'm talking to her, okay, just give me the number. What's the name of the company? Just like she's weeping and crying, and I am giving a number. Let me call. I need to get this done because I want to make sure that you are ready for the wedding. And so she's just like inconsolable. And so the next day. I am just reading my Bible, praying, trying to rummage through my day and say, where did I have an opportunity for the Spirit of God to be at work in my life? And the Spirit of God brought up the moment with my daughter, where he told me, he kind of speaks to me this way, you big dummy as a father. Okay, this is the way he talks to me, right? You had an opportunity to be empathetic with your daughter and to your daughter, and you went into fix-it mode, and you saw the way she resisted that. She did not need a dad to fix it. She needed a dad to enter into her pain. And so after the Spirit kind of beat me a little bit, this is the text I sent to her. Good morning, sweetie. Hope you had a good rest. Just wanted to drop you a quick note to say how proud I am of you and that I love you. Also, you got to get the good stuff in first. Also, I need to apologize for not being as empathetic as I should have been about the dress snafu. I could have handled that differently. I know you felt bad, and I should have entered into your pain more quickly. I think I was just about, how do I fix this? You needed your dad to feel with you at that time and not to try to fix it at that time. I apologize. I am still learning. I'm glad we were able to resolve it. At least we hope we resolved it. Anyway, I'm glad you're my daughter. Have an amazing day. And so, I don't know, maybe a day or so later, she texts me. She says, it's okay. It all got fixed in the end, and you helped me even when I didn't really want any. Thank you, though. And so I try to be, how does the Spirit of God work in a believer's life? And we have to pay attention to the small moments in our days to see where he wants to be active. Does this make sense? we can go so fast in the course of a day and miss it. So here's a second one. Authentic in our relationships. And I'm going to give you a couple of verses. A new command I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Also, you are also are to love one another. That's John 13:34. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light that we, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, that is connection, deep, deep relationship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Authenticity in our relationships, it just simply means that I'm being honest about who I am in my relationships with you. The one thing that the church is lacking is authenticity. I show up and I put on a good face and I make you think that I'm doing okay. But in essence, I need to actually unearth. I need to let you know this is where I struggle. Here's my weakness. Now, we can't do this in a large group like this. That's the reason we need smaller groups. That's the reason we need huddles. That's the reason we need communities to be able to tell one another, this is where I'm hurting. This is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm celebrating. This is where my life is right now. And the reality is that we walk in these doors, and I know it because I've done it. We walk in these doors, and we are hurting. And we want to tell somebody. We want to, but we are afraid to be vulnerable because somehow people will look at our vulnerability and think that we're weak, and somehow people will look at our vulnerability and think that we're not spiritual. Somehow people will look at our vulnerability and say, well, something must be wrong with your faith. Just give God all of your problems and everything will go away. And no, it's about you and I locking arms and locking shields and say, you know something? We will journey together. We will laugh together. We will cry together. You will be my 3 a.m. friend, and I will be your 3 a.m. friend. And when the stuff hits the fan, we will call one another. We will text one another. We will actually show up on one another's doorstep at 3:30 in the morning to be with one another. That is a different kind of community. That is a different kind. Listen, Peloton can do it. And if Peloton can do it and have a community where the instructor is putting pain on you and you're loving it and paying for it, then we most certainly can gather together and walk together, love one another, confess our faults one to another so that we might be healed. There is healing in vulnerability. There's healing in vulnerability. There is dis-ease in lack of vulnerability. Don't you know it takes more energy to hide our junk than to actually reveal it? Here's another thing that you may not have known. The more you hide the stuff in your life, the more Satan can build a beachhead and cause havoc in your life. Shame, condemnation, self-hatred. And Satan loves to do that. But when you have a friend, when you have someone that you trust to say, I'm struggling in this area, would you please help me? So here's the result when we are actually living in authentic community, deep and wide. Our relationships will go deeper and they will be wider across the spectrum. That is, wider in it doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. I love you, you love me, and we're going to cross boundaries, as we talked about last week, and I will have a wider network of people that I care for and who care for me. So let me give you number three, active in our communities. Active in our communities. And let me give you a couple of passages. Jesus said to them, this is John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then Acts 1 and 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is post-resurrection. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm sending you into the world. And I'm sending you into the world to tell other people about me. This building is not our mission field. I need to say that again. This building is not our mission field. This building is an equipping center, equipping you and me to be scattered back into the world, to show up in neighbors' lives, to show up in coworkers' lives. This building, if we're doing our jobs right, if I'm doing my job right, if Blake is doing his job right, Jack is doing his job right, we're going to give you tools so that when you go out of here, you know how to engage the world in which you live. You know how to live a Spirit-led and Spirit-guided life, a Spirit-empowered life. And guess what the Spirit of God is going to do? He's going to place people in front of you, neighbors in front of you, co-workers in front of you, that he's done that so that you might be Jesus to them. So if you're coming to this building to feel comfortable, this is not the place. But if you're coming to this building to be equipped so to go back and be scattered in the world, dude, you have found the right place. If you're coming here to this building to say, hey, give me my preferences, you probably are not in the right place. But if you're coming to say, oh, please give me the tools so that I might be a follower of Jesus in the world, man, you are in the right place. If you're here to say, if leaders are here, we're building a kingdom, you're in the wrong place. But if you're here because, man, you want to be a part of a greater mission, and that mission is to help people come to know Jesus, you are in the right place. So we do this personally, and we do this collectively. So if this is happening, if we are being active in our communities, there are two results. That is, I will be on mission, and we will be on mission. So in your notes, it's I and we. So the reason it's I, because your neighborhood and the people you know is your mission field. That's not my mission field. My mission field is Hazlitt. My mission field is the neighborhood that I live in. That is my mission field. That's the mission field that I pray for. As I walk through my neighborhood, walk through my subdivision, I am praying for every neighbor that walks, that lives in the houses in our neighborhood. I am praying for this area. I am praying for the students and the teachers and the principal at Hazlitt High School and Middle School, because that's my mission field. And then you have a mission field, personally. So that's the reason it's I. And I should not expect Trinity to do that for me. I am called to do it. And if I say, hey, Trinity, can you pray with me as I'm about to share the gospel with a neighbor that I've been talking to? That's when the church partners with the I. But I shouldn't expect the church to do that for me, because that's my mission field. And you shouldn't expect the church to do that for you, because that's your mission field. But then also it's we, us together. We gather together to say, how can we be a light in the darkness in Lansing? And so then we lock arms and we lock shields and we go and we do ministry in our world. That's the reason Love Lansing is such a big deal. We actually gathered together last year or before COVID, we gathered together, we shut down an entire Sunday morning service, and about 800 of us gathered together, and we literally went all around Lansing because it was we gathering together. So active in our communities is a big, big deal. That is locally as well as global. All right? So that's the third value that we value. And then the fourth one is apprenticing as our commitment. Apprenticing as our commitment. And that's a $75 word. Apprenticeship is a $75 word for how do I invite people to come alongside and watch while I do discipleship so they can do discipleship with another person. That's really apprenticing. We are all apprenticing Jesus. We're all watching Jesus, the way he lives his life, the way he lived his life, the way he encountered and engaged and interacted. And then we follow his example. And as we follow his example, other people around us follow our example as we follow Jesus. And we've already talked about this. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. We talked about this last week. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So when we know, we will know that we are living out this value, and there are basically two ways. Is when I am leading and when I am being led. When I am leading and when I am being led. That's how we know apprenticeship as a commitment is actually happening. Now check this out. Some of you have been, whether here at Trinity or in other places, and many of you have been Christians for a long time. And you've had Bible study after Bible study after Bible study, and it's good. You've done a whole lot of Bible studies. And God has invested so much in you. Like it's just in you. And for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, you've just been sitting in the chair. You maybe not have led anybody. You may have not been pouring into anybody, discipling them. God says, I've invested stuff in you. Not to be a hoarder, but to pass it on to others. Some, you say, Marvin, man, I did all that stuff when I was younger. I'm retired. There is no retirement in making disciples. There is no retirement in making disciples. There's a Blake and I got a chance to pray with a man last week, and we both got goosebumps at the same time. And as this man was telling us about his mother, His mother wants to go into an assisted living home. Why? Not so that she could just coast into heaven. You know the reason why? She says, I am getting out of my chair so that I can make disciples of people in this place. This woman is like 80-something years old, and she is like, Caleb, give me my mountain. I am ready to disciple others so that they can. Listen, if you are not dead, you are not done. And for those of you who say, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to sit in the lazy boy and Jesus take me to heaven from my lazy boy. I don't know if you want to meet him from your lazy boy. I think you want to meet him active. Does this make sense to anybody? I'm serious. Is this like am I the only one feeling the nicks and dings on this one? Is that apprenticeship is about you and I leading. And if you say, man, Marvin, I don't even know what it means to be discipled. And maybe some of you have been in church all of your life and no one has ever discipled you. No one has ever taught you how to follow Jesus. You've been doing the church thing for a long time. And I know a lot of people, and again, this is a no judgment zone, no condemnation zone, been in church all of their lives and never been discipled. No one ever took them and put their arms around them and said, hey, can I help you? Can we walk together and let's follow Jesus together? And if that's you, it's okay to say, I don't know. And would someone actually come alongside and help me to follow Jesus better? That takes humility, but I would rather you do that than to pretend that you know. So these are our values. These are our values. Attentive to the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work in our lives. And when the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, there will be freedom and there will be fruit. Authentic in our relationships. And when we are authentic in our relationships, we are not superficial, but we're going deeper. There are two results. We're going to be deeper and wider in our relationships. When we are active in our communities, we recognize that we are to take this, what we're learning, out and be scattered, it will be us individually, I on mission, and we as a church on mission. And then when we actually are living out what it means to apprentice as our commitment, apprenticing with Jesus and apprenticing others, you know what we will see? We will see people leading others to follow Jesus. And if we don't know how to do that, how to lead others, we will submit to being led by others who are a little bit further along so that we might follow Jesus. And then once we grow up, we're going to be teaching others how to do the same. That's who we are. And if you were thinking like, man, I'm just coming to rest, it's probably not the place. Oh, when are you going to do my thing? This might not be the place. Oh, what about when are you going to do my preference? We're making disciples over here. When are we gonna do the thing? You know what I'm talking about, the thing. When everybody is happy and we're all doing the thing. I don't even know what the thing is. I just made that up. But y'all know what I'm talking about. If it's taking us away from making disciples, if it's taking us away from being attentive to the Spirit, authentic in our relationships, active in our communities, and apprenticing others, then more than likely we will not be doing that. Now, we're going to be looking for delivery systems that actually help us move in that direction. And you're not going to want to miss next week. Because next week, we're going to be talking about some of those delivery systems that actually help us to live out our values and to help us make disciples. I think it's going to be cool to see, and I think you're not going to want to miss it. All right? So that's who we are. At least, again, our mission, make disciples, and our values today. Next week, we're going to talk about vision, what we're going to be doing for the next Vision 2025, but what we're going to be doing this year in 2021 and 2022 as a church, and we're going to invite you to be a part of that. Let's stand and let's pray. Hey, if you want someone to pray with you, pray for your family, pray for other stuff that's going on, We will, our prayer ministers as well as our elders will be down front and maybe even in the aisles to pray with you because we, man, we believe that God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in our life as a church. So let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for what you've shown us over the years, that you desire us to pay attention to your spirit every day. You desire us to be authentic in our relationships with one another. You desire us to be active in the community. You actually want us not to get stuck in the chair. You actually want us to move and take what we're learning and press it into the neighborhoods and the communities and the region in which we live, individually, but also collectively as a church. And then as we apprentice with your son and learn from him and learn how to live and learn how to forgive and learn how to pray, learn how to fast, we want to in turn lead others to do the same. So teach us what it means to lead others. First, lead ourselves and lead others, and then show us what it means to be led by others. Man, that's what we want. That's what we desire. Thank you for making us that kind of church. And we pray that you would, a special blessing would rest on the people who call Trinity Church home. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, have a great weekend, rest of the weekend, and we'll be down front to pray with you.